All right. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
We got a lot of new faces or and visitors and people here for the just for the Unified event. So make sure you say hi to the person next to you. In fact, take a moment, say hi to the person next to you. And I know there was a couple introverts that just went, no, don't do that. Because I used to be one of those individuals. You know, if they told us to do that at church, I was like, oh, no, I don't want to do that. And that's the funny thing about what I really liked about the whole idea of Unified. It isn't about a single individual local church. It's not about a single individual ministry. It is about the big C, the church. And I think in a lot of ways, we have forgotten about that. If you think about it, we have a lot of different types of churches out there. You have the charismatic, you have the liturgical, you have the evangelical. And they all are reaching people in the different ways that they present the message, different ways they present the gospel. But if you look at the world today, and one of the things I struggle with seeing is how do people react? We can start with the obvious, you know, Cornhuskers versus the Hawkeyes. That splits people up. Democrat versus Republican. And then even in the church, we have our same problems, it seems like. Which theological belief do we want to follow? Are we Catholic? Are we Protestant? Are we Arminian? Are we Calvinist? And we all sit there and we want to fight and argue. You want to go and get a bunch of pastors in a room and ask them, what does the book of Revelations mean? And depending on what denominations and which people and which school they went to, oh, if you're the spectator, you're going to leave more confused than you did when you walked in the room. Because you're going to hear about 10,000 different ways of how they do it. And for me, part of that problem, I think, actually used to irritate me so much to the point where I stopped going to church. I stopped altogether. And when I finally did start going back to church, it wasn't going to church, it wasn't going to service, it wasn't the worship music that really got me more and more involved. What it was actually the fellowship. Talking to people about faith. Talking to people about what we believe. Talking to people about what we read in the Bible. And we've been in a series the last few weeks. 2 weeks ago, we talked about go. How Jesus told us to go. We are to go to the four ends of the world. Our Judea, our Samaria, four ends of the earth. Teaching people the gospel. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I think sometimes we get kind of messed up with that because we let these divisions get in our way. In John 15, Jesus talks about saying, I am the true grapevine, my Father is the gardener. He says, he cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they produce even more. Now, the whole idea of that is supposed to be about our individual heart, about how we look at the gospel, how we look at God. But I think a lot of times what he's actually talking about is the different denominations and the different local churches. That's one of the things I'm really proud about all seasons, the different ministries we have worked with. We've worked with Lutheran churches, Catholic churches, Wesleyan churches, Baptist churches, and we don't mind because the purpose isn't what all seasons want. The purpose is what God wants.
Amen.
Too many times I think we worry about what I'm going to get out of this, what's going to happen with me, when a purpose and a mission has nothing to do with us, it has to do with Him. It's no different in our salvation. If someone says, hey, do you think you're going to go to heaven? And your first answer is, yeah, because you didn't do anything to be able to go to heaven. It was 100% because of what Christ did on the cross. The next thing we talked about is gathering. Now, I didn't know it was going to be close to 100 degrees today. Who knew? Like Tanya talked about the humidity. But when we do gather, both as a church and as a small group, and we worship together, just like we said last week, that's the rehearsal for the big dance. Because sooner or later, we're all going to be up there, and we're going to be worshiping Him. So it makes sense for us to be doing it here as well. You can start living your eternal life today and now. Before that, we talked about failure, doubt, pain, and fatigue, and how we'll put these roadblocks in our faith to keep us from gathering. We'll find almost any excuse not to show up. But think how people are about their favorite sports teams or their favorite TV show. How they will pull everything out that they can to make sure they get there, to make sure they do that. But then when it comes to Sunday morning, you know, I think I'm just going to hit that snooze button a couple more times. Or I'm just going to shut the alarm off and roll over. Russ just raised his hand. Unfortunately for him, the pastor shows up at his house and picks him up. And sometimes we'll try to make it sound like, well, we tried and I didn't understand. Well, I tried reading the Bible, but you know what? I just didn't quite understand what it meant. Now, as a pastor, I'll be honest, first thing I'll ask, are you reading a King James Version? Because if it is, that may be part of the, that is kind of hard to understand. Or the next one I really hear a lot of times is, well, I pray all the time, but I don't hear anything. And the question I wonder about that is, you may be praying, but are you praying to ask, or you're praying for a relationship? Because there's a difference. Other people say, well, I show up to church, but it seems nothing changes. Well, I went to church for years. I was what you would call that cultural Christian. I was there every Sunday. Now, for a while there, I was one of those creasters, Christmas, Easter only. You know, but I did my part, right? But think about it. How often, even if you think about yourself, how often have you gone to church and you sat there as the worship team was going, wow, that was nice. Now, I want to be honest, after hearing Lexus and our worship team, I didn't want to come up here because they both were just amazing. It's kind of hard to follow that. I was half tempted to look at my team going, you want to do another 10 songs? I'll sit back here and call it good. Another thing that holds people back at times, I think, is can I actually grow in my faith when I'm struggling, when I'm doubting, when I'm hurting, when I'm angry, and when I don't understand? And the question is absolutely yes. I've said it before, and a good analogy in my mind is simply this. I remember a pastor talking about how he had a young gentleman come up to him, and he asked, can I go to church if I'm smoking pot? Yes. I'll be honest, since All Saints has opened up 18 months ago, we've had people come in that did mushrooms, that were drunk, that were smoking high, that were barefoot, that wet themselves, that haven't probably showered in a month, and I do not care. No way. The analogy that this pastor uses, do I go and take a shower before I go take a bath? No, you go to church to clean your life up there. Maybe not physically, maybe spiritually. Maybe emotionally. But if you're worried about whether or not I can go to church because of something you've done or something you're doing, the answer absolutely is yes. We were not meant to grow alone. We were not meant to be alone. In fact, what I referred to earlier in Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, through Judea and Samaria, and the ends of the earth. What does that mean? That means we're supposed to be going out inviting, talking to people, establishing relationships. We're not supposed to stay in the four corners of our living room and every so often peer out the blinds at 2:00 in the morning when we see the red, white, and blues across the street. I did 30 years in the fire service. I saw you guys every time 2:00 in the morning on a rescue call. You look at the blinds across the street and there's this little gap all of a sudden. Everyone's blind. I think a lot of people are doing that when it comes to their faith. They sit there and they go, well, I know, but that looks kind of tough. I'll just leave it right there. Or they go and they see all these people sitting in a room, and it's kind of intimidating when you don't know anybody and there's, you know, 20, 30, 40, 100 people sitting in a room. It reminds me also that one thing that we have to remember is the two greatest commandments. Because that's the premise of how we're supposed to be. If you say you are a Christian, the manner of how you treat those new people, the manner that you treat those individuals that come into your lives, regardless of their political affiliation, regardless of what church they may have used to go to, regardless of what color their skin is quite simple. Jesus said in Matthew 22, you must love your Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Put God first in everything you do in life. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor, and don't miss this part because I think this is what we do, as yourself. Meaning you should be loving yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on those two commandments. So if we're supposed to love our neighbor, if we're supposed to go out and invite people, it's obvious that we are supposed to gather, we are to grow. In fact, in Proverbs 27:17, it says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Now, I'm going to be honest. That is one verse that I used to, I don't want to say dislike, because you can't dislike a verse out of the Bible. But if I had to rate them, it was on the bottom of the list. And the reason being, and some of the guys might be able to test this, I can't say for the ladies, but a lot of men's groups, especially on social media, and there's a little discord going on, somebody always ends up going, iron sharpens iron, because that's going to justify their point. Just by taking a verse out of context and throwing it out there on the screen. And okay, I'm right, you're wrong, because I said this first. But the truth of the matter is, the only way we can grow in our faith is if we're growing together. None of us are capable of growing just by ourselves. In fact, most times if we're standing somewhere by ourselves, the only thing we're doing is drifting away. We're losing that connection. We're not in step with the Holy Spirit. We're taught that grace alone and faith alone is the key to salvation. God's grace, His prevalent grace, is always there. And then by our faith in Him, grace makes that first move. Our faith helps us respond. What growth happens is when we cooperate, when we walk step in step with God's grace. Prayer, scripture, worship, fellowship. Those are all different ways that we can grow in our faith, that we understand and step into God's grace even more. These are not works to earn God's love. Let me be clear on that, because we don't earn our salvation. But they're channels through which God's love grows on us. I think the secret to all of it is small groups. Men's groups, women's groups, life groups. And pretty soon we're going to do what's called purpose groups, where you and three individuals are going to spend a year together in the New Testament, growing, holding each other accountable. And why do we want to do that? Well, quite honestly, Jesus modeled it. He's the first one who came up with it. If you think about it, what did He do? He took 12 goofballs and said, hey, come on. We're going to be the fisher of men. Some of them, He just said, follow me. That's all He had to say to what the society at that time was considered the most worthless, Matthew, the tax collector. Scripture says He said, follow me. Matthew went, all right. Not as easy as it sounds. Jesus told us that for where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them. He didn't just preach to the crowds. He taught those 12 guys for 3 years everything He could to help them in their ministry. He sent them out to do works, to share the gospel. And then He sent the 70 out. And that same time, He had His inner circle. Peter, James, and John, who got to see just a little bit more. They got to experience just a little bit more. The same way we can grow. And it's funny how people will ignore that, and people say, no, no, no. But when it's done on the secular side of the world, people go, oh, okay, yeah. For years, you know, we talked about anxiety, depression. We said, oh, your faith can help with that. And people are like, yeah, whatever. And then Journal of Medicine comes out and says, hey, by the way, a study shows that leaning in your faith actually helps with depression, anxiety, suicidal ideation. Actually, reading the Bible every day helps increase your lifespan. Medical study. Oh, now people are going, hey, there's something to that. There's a bunch of pastors going, yeah, we've been saying it for 2,000 years, but you didn't want to listen. Same thing with small groups, because now you see a lot of business leaders that say, well, be concentrated around the five people that you surround your life with. Your five closest friends reflect who you are. Yeah, Jesus said that 2,000 years ago as well when he took that inner three and he grew with them. The early church lived by gathering. We saw in Acts 2, verse 42, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them, and the apostles performed many miracle signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions. They worshiped together in a temple each day. They met at home for the Lord's Supper, shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. What are we doing now when it comes to church and gathering? We're arguing. We're trying to find differences. We're pointing fingers. We're making up excuses when we should be praying together. We should be learning together. At times, even suffering together. Because you can read the whole Bible front to end. While we're here on this earth, there is no rose garden that we get to play in. In fact, it tells us the opposite. That at times it'll be hard. And they celebrated together. And why they do that? What had happened? What did we read in Acts? Their numbers grew. The individuals grew in their faith. Communities were transformed during that time. I talked a little bit about last week. One of the main things you hear people talk about when it comes to community, when it comes to church, They try to say, well, I don't need the church. I don't need the community. All I need is the Bible. Well, here's my question. Who is Paul writing all those letters to? Sure, he wrote a couple to Timothy. And what was Timothy doing? He was pastoring a new church in Ephesus and having a hard time at it. But when he wrote to the Corinthians, when he wrote to the Romans, when he wrote to the Philippians, when he wrote to the Ephesians, he was writing the local church. He was writing the body of believers to help them grow. While he sat in prison, on many of them, being persecuted, and yet still spreading the gospel in jail to the guards, the temple guards. Jesus in 5:13 says, you are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? And verse 14 says, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. One of the main ways that we grow is about how we pour into other people and how they then in turn pour into us. We got to remember it's not about I, it's not about me. I mean, we all wake up on those days and we say, well, it's me, myself, and I against the world. How well did that work out? I know for me, it doesn't usually do well. Because once again, we got to put him first. The gifts and the abilities that we've been given aren't for our own benefit. They are for the benefit of others. No different than others are for the benefit of you. So if you want to grow in your faith, you want clarity in your calling, if you want to feel God's presence more effectively, what we're doing today is what we need to be doing more. We need to be gathering to grow. See? Even the dog agreed. All right, I'm done. That's it. The dog agreed. We're out. Got showed up by the worship teams and the doctor. All right, yes. Good morning. Jesus is our only hope. He is the only one that can give us our salvation. Family is our foundation, the church family. Our mission is those around us, our community that we live in. Our discipleship is the path that we should take in small groups and working with each other. Because the purpose, just as we say ours, is to lead others to Christ in all seasons of life. None of that can happen by yourself. And maybe today is one of those days that you need to take a step of faith. You've been struggling, you've been afraid to, you didn't know what the right answer was. You have a choice. You can stay in the comfort of what you know today, or you can step out in your faith, and even though it's uncertain, God is always working for the good. Spiritual growth is personal. There's no doubt about it. But there's nothing that says it should be private. How do you share the message? How do you share the gospel with others? Well, it's simple. You share your story. It doesn't have to be some grandiose, miracle-laden. It can be simple, but honest. A lot of people have been saved because they were fortunate to grow in a family or in a community where they knew Christ from an early age and grew into it. That's why children ministry is so important. You hear them screaming over there at the park, having fun. Others have gone to the point where they're rock bottom due to addiction or other issues. And then they finally meet Jesus there. Every one of us has a different path to Christ. But through Christ, we know that's the only path to God. If we do our part, if we keep reaching out to people, we keep telling people to gather, and because we gather, we keep growing, what could happen to our community? What if we stop saying, well, I'm just going to go to church, and I'm actually going to connect. I'm actually going to get involved. I'm actually going to start talking to people. I'm actually going to go to a small group. I'm actually going to serve. I'm actually going to give. I'm going to do some step that gets me connected, not just to the church, but to fellow believers who are, I know I am loved. There's a reason we say it's okay not to be okay, because a lot of people struggle with their own self-guilt. Even our four-legged friends, apparently. But what does happen when people come together in Christ as families become strengthened, addictions are broken, marriages are restored, and purpose is discovered in Christ? We want people to know that all seasons of church and in any season, whether failure, doubt, pain, or fatigue's the issue, we know that growth is possible. Together we can sharpen one another as iron sharpens iron. We can take those steps of faith. We can multiply disciples and not worry about church membership and how many people are in the seats, but effective change in people's hearts and in their lives. We grow best when we grow together. So here's the question. Here's the action item, if you will. Are you growing in your faith? Are you truly growing in your faith? And if you say you are, then who are you growing with? And are you helping them grow in turn? I want to encourage you to either, if you don't have a church home, find a church home. It doesn't have to be all seasons. We'd love to have you. But I don't, just because I happen to be the pastor up here talking at this time doesn't mean it has to be all seasons. But we'll help you find if it's not. Join a small group. Get involved. Start living life with others. The other opportunity we have today, which I didn't know we were going to have until a few days ago, is whether or not you've been baptized. What is the purpose of baptism? The baptism itself is not what saves you. It's faith in Christ. and the grace that he offers. Faith alone, grace alone, it's what your salvation is. But by you getting baptized, you're declaring to the world that I am taking a step forward, that I am growing in my faith, that I do believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And it's only through him do I have a chance. That's what we do when we say we get baptized. So at the end of service, anyone is interested in that, let us know. Baptism isn't about being perfect. It's a direction. None of us are perfect. Doesn't matter how much schooling or what you do in life, we all make mistakes. I guess what I'm saying is don't leave God and what he's doing with this event here in this tent. So often, I can remember when I was younger, I'd leave church, and if you asked me 2 hours later, what was it about? I don't know. Some guy was up there talking for about an hour, I think. What is God asking you to do? Take that home and pray on it. What's your next step of faith? How can you personally grow in your faith? That's what you need to take a step into. And I guarantee it's not by you being by yourself or being alone. The only way you're going to grow is you step in with others. That's why I think the Unified event is such a great idea. When stuff like this happens, we respond to God's grace, not as individuals, but as the church. As those that believe in Jesus Christ. Those that know that he went to the cross. Why? Because we're not good enough. He went to that cross being tortured, being mocked, being insulted, and finally killed to be the ultimate sacrifice. And the day that he died, that curtain in the temple split wide open, showing that we now have a path directly to God. We have the ultimate sacrifice. We have the ultimate high priest in Jesus Christ. Because 3 days later, he stepped out and showed everybody that he defeated death, not just for himself, but for all of us. That's the greatest thing about being a follower of Christ. Our God is a living God. Amen. It's not Buddha, it's not Hinduism, it's not Mohammed. They're all dead and in a grave somewhere. Our God is a living God. And he's standing there with his arms open, saying, come to me. And if you listen to yourself, what's the first answer you're going to say? Nope. I'm scared. But listen to those around you that are saying, go, move forward, step into it, grow in your faith. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for everybody here today. We ask you for guidance. We ask you for strength and courage to take those steps of faith, to grow in our faith, to be willing to live life with others together. We're not meant to be in this alone. The world will tell us that. The only reason we have a chance is because you sent your son for us to provide a path for us to repent and be redeemed. I ask you to put on everyone's heart that next step of faith that they need to take to help them grow, to help them understand the steps that you have for them and their purpose in you, our Lord and Savior. We thank you. We love you. And the church says, amen.